and you come after us. You've loved us with an everlasting love. And Lord, I pray that we would all recognize that love today. And Lord, in response, that we would just yield ourselves to you. Lord, I do pray that you speak to us this morning, that you change us, you'd make us different because of being here today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We continue on in our study of the apostles, the Baker's Dozen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 10. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there, Matthew chapter 10. Has anybody ever seen the movie The Dirty Dozen? Okay. There is so much masculinity in this movie. The American Psychological Association would probably say it's toxic. Okay? If you've never seen it, it's a great war movie. You've got Lee Marvin, Ernest Borgnine, Charles Bronson, George Kennedy, Donald Sutherland, Telly Who Loves You Baby Savalas, and of course you've got Jim Brown. Now, if you don't know the plot of the movie, is this. It's during World War II, and there are these guys that are in the military stockade. They're in prison. They've done crimes to be in prison, and they're in the military. But there's part of what they call Operation Amnesty. That if they would go on this suicide mission, if they survive it, they'd be given amnesty, forgiveness for the crimes which they have committed. And so they get these ragtag guys out of the prisons, these criminals, basically. And what they're going to do prior to the invasion of Normandy, they're sending them behind enemy lines. And they know of a place where the German elite are gathering, a lot of the leadership. And what they want them to do is they want them to go blow them all up. And so they've got to go behind German lines into France. And there's a chateau where all the elite Nazi command is. And if you remember, if you've seen the movie, Jim Brown's got all the grenades. He's throwing them down the air shafts, running. You think Jim Brown's going to make it. Spoiler alert, Jim Brown dies. Okay? But it's a movie about men sent on a mission with the possibility that they may not make it. Now, believe it or not, it's loosely, The Dirty Dozen, the movie, is loosely based on an actual military unit in World War II called, get a load of this, the Filthy 13. And we're calling ours the Baker's Dozen. The Filthy 13, they were actually a unit during World War II. They did go behind enemy lines prior to the invasion of Normandy. They blew up a bunch of stuff, a bunch of bridges. They also participated in Operation Garden Market in the Netherlands. They are part of the Pathfinders that helped the supplies get dropped in when the 101st Airborne were surrounded in Bastogne. And you know, so these were guys who were sent on a mission. And they were basically told, you're not going to come back probably, good possibility, but we really need what you're going to do. We really need what you're going to do, and you're going to be sent out, and it's going to be very, very dangerous, and there's a good possibility you're going to die, but you're very, very important. And it's very important, it's very vital what you're going to do. Now, when we think about Jesus sending out his apostles, we read it in Scripture. A lot of times we get the Sunday school feeling like, oh, this is really nice, you know, reading this in the Bible. But let me tell you something. These guys, they were going to suffer. As the years would go by, the decades would go by, you'd see some of them get their head cut off, crucified, run through with a spear, tortured in various ways. And so we're talking about they're going to be sent out, and they're going to suffer for doing what they're going to do. But they were called to follow Jesus. They were the apostles. Apostle means someone who is sent with orders, someone who's sent on a mission by another. And they're going to be sent out. Now, in the context of chapter 10, in chapter 9, Jesus has looked out upon the multitudes, and he saw them, and he was moved with compassion. They were like sheep not having a shepherd. And he turned to his disciples, and he said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." And so, it's like, there's a bunch of stuff to do. Don't have many people to do it. And then in chapter 10, we see that Jesus, in answer to that prayer, Jesus is going to send them out to be a solution to the problem. He's sending the apostles out to be a solution to the problem. Look in verse 1 of chapter 10. It says, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases." So he's conferring his power upon them. Next several verses, we get the names of the apostles: Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray Christ. Now in verse 5, we're going to see how Jesus sends them out. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out, and he commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not go into the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So Jesus is calling his disciples to him, these 12 guys. He's conferring his power upon them. He's giving them a message, and he's sending them out. Now, let's think about the message. The message is the message of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah has come. The gospel is here. This is it. This is what you've longed for. This is what you've waited for. So they got this message of the gospel as they go out. He gives them a ministry to meet human needs. The signs of the apostles was conferred upon them. They could cast out demons. They could heal the sick. He also says you're going to have spiritual battles. You will cast out demons. So he gives them a message of ministry, and he tells them there's a battle. You're going to do spiritual battle. And he sends them out. Now remember, they are disciples, they're apostles. They were called on a 3.5-year internship or apprenticeship. What they were supposed to be doing all during this time is they were supposed to be listening to the words that Jesus said. They were supposed to be observing the acts that Jesus did, how he did things. Because when Jesus would ascend back into heaven, he was going to give that responsibility to the apostles. As a matter of fact, the church is built upon the apostles. You see down in Ephesians. So it's very, very important what they were doing. They needed to observe, and they needed to be able to do what Jesus did, to say what Jesus said. And so here they are, they're gathered around, and Jesus calls them, and all of a sudden, he says, I'm going to send you out. I'm sending you out to do what I've done. I'm sending you out to say what I've said. It's time for you to be sent out. Now, let me read something to you from Luke chapter 4. This is a time earlier in his ministry where Jesus had just gotten started. He's at the Nazareth synagogue. He takes the scroll of Isaiah. He reads a messianic prophecy, and he applies it to himself. He says in verse 18 of Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm bringing a message of deliverance, a message of liberty, a message of freedom to broken people. It's a message that brings wholeness to those who are broken. It's a message that brings liberation to those who are in bondage. That's the message of the gospel. And now here is Jesus telling his disciples, they've been with him, they've seen what he's done, they've heard what he said. Now all of a sudden, he's saying, I'm conferring my power upon you, now I want you to go do what I've done. I want you to go say what I've said. And I'm sending you out. Now they didn't know that this time, okay, we're going to be sent out today. All of a sudden Jesus says, I'm sending you out today. I'm sending you out with a message. You're going to have a ministry, you're going to meet human need, and you're going to do spiritual battle. I'm sending you out. Now he tells them, don't go to the way of the Gentiles. Don't go to the Gentile places right now. Don't go to the city of the Samaritans. Why? Because in God's eschatological way of doing things, there was a priority that he was working through, going first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. But for this specific message and mission at this specific time, he tells them, just go to the Jewish nation right now. Later it'd be to the whole world. But he's sending them out. Now, they were supposed to, as a disciple, they were supposed to be learning so that they could learn to do what Jesus had done, so they could learn to say what Jesus had said. That's what being a disciple is. Now, let me just say this. In the 21st century, say you're a Christian, you say, Marty, I've accepted Christ. Well, you're a disciple of Christ. You're a follower of Christ. You're supposed to be learning from Scripture what Christ said and what Christ did, and you're supposed to be willing to put that into practice yourself. We are supposed to approach every day, I've learned from Christ, I've read what he's said, I've read what he's done. Now, as he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, in John chapter 20, we need to understand that he's sending us out as well. We're being sent out. We're being sent out with a mission, with a message. We're being sent out to do spiritual battle. Every day, when you wake up, when I wake up, we need to have an attitude. Okay, Lord, I'm a follower. I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Christ. I want you to send me out today. Don't know exactly all that I'm going to do, but I want to go out as one that's on a mission. I want to go out as though I have a message that's important. That there's a ministry to perform. There's a spiritual battle to do. Jesus is telling his disciples, they're gathered around, he said, I am now sending you out. They didn't know it was about to happen. Now let me ask you this, have you ever been in a situation where you were supposed to have learned something and all of a sudden you were put to a test and you didn't learn it? When I was at the University of Georgia, I had a class, chemistry for majors. It was a disaster. I passed it, but it was a disaster. Let me tell you why it was a disaster. You had, the lectures, and then on Friday we'd have lab. I just automatically assumed it'd be like high school. Here's what I did in high school. When we'd have chemistry lab in high school, we got with a guy named Jay Nix. Jay was extremely smart. Jay would do all the experiments, and we'd just write down the numbers. We never paid attention. We never did anything. All we'd do is talk and cut up and have a great time. Jay would be over. Jay loved doing it. And Jay would be doing all the experiments. We'd just write down the numbers. Then when I got off to the University of Georgia and I was in a chemistry for majors and I went to lab, they gave me a piece of paper and said, this is what you're to do today. I had to get my book out. I didn't know what the instruments were. Had no idea. I didn't know how to do the experiments. I didn't know where to start. I had to look at something, use this. I had to find the chart, find out what that was. I should have known that. I should have learned that. I should have already practiced that stuff. I didn't know I was going to be tested that day. Let me tell you something. I struggled. There are things in your life that the Lord's teaching you that you should be learning, that I should be learning, that we should be putting into practice, things we know to do that we should be putting into practice. We need to learn, we need to do, because you never know when that day comes, all of a sudden, you got to put it into practice. You just never, all of a sudden, one day, boom, here it is, put it into practice. Well, I knew the Lord was wanting me to work on that, and I didn't do it. I knew I should have been looking more at that passage of Scripture. I knew the Lord wanted me to kind of start applying this stuff. I didn't know I was going to be put to the test like this. As a disciple, you're a learner, a follower of Jesus. That's what I am. That's if you're a Christian. You never know when that day comes where it's all right, today's the day to be sent out. And here's what Jesus does as he tells his disciples, I'm sending you out today. I'm conferring my power upon you. You got the message. There's a ministry. You're going to do battle. But you know what he does? He makes it even harder. Look what he does there in verse 9. As he's sending them out, he says, provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there till you go out. And when you go out into a household, greet it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day on that city in the day of judgment. Here's what the deal is. He's sending them out, and you can imagine you show up, follow Jesus. Okay, Jesus, what are we going to do today? Well, I'm sending you out. Well, I need to go. Nope, don't go get anything. Don't go get any money. Don't get a staff. Don't get an extra outer garment. You can get nothing. You're going to go right now. You're going to go right now. See, what was going to happen is that Jesus was going to send them out, but he was going to put them in a position where they would have to trust. As they went out and as they ministered, as they went out and did battle, they were going to be put in a situation in life where they were going to have to trust him. He says, a laborer is worthy of his food. You're going to have to trust. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to go from city to city. And when you come into a household or a city and you preach the message, if that house is worthy, I want you to stay there. Now, what would deem a house being worthy? Well, they would receive the message and the ministry that they were performing. Let your peace remain there. But if you go into a house and you preach the message, perform the ministry, and they don't want any of it, withdraw your peace, shake the dust off your feet, that was a sign of judgment, and go to the next place. He's making it where they're going to have to trust. He's sending them out. And he's saying, you got to go right now. You're going to go with what you got. And you're going to have to trust. And there's going to be some that receive and some that reject. But the message that you're preaching is the most powerful message there is. Why? Because he says, if they don't receive it, it's going to be more tolerable for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for that place. Matter of fact, the message that you have brings eternal consequences into people's lives. You know what message he's talking about? The gospel. Did you know that? The gospel is the key to the kingdom. The gospel message is the key to the kingdom. The gospel message changes people's eternities. Somebody accepts Christ, guess what happens? Their eternal destiny is changed. They go to heaven when they die. Their sins are forgiven. They receive the present ministry of the Holy Spirit in their heart. God's down payment upon their life. Everything changes. If somebody rejects the gospel, they're rejecting light. The more light that somebody rejects, the greater the judgment they will receive. That's the teaching of Scripture. That's what Jesus is saying here. The ones that rejected the present ministry of Jesus, he says, withdraw from them. It's going to be more tolerable. In other words, Sodom and Gomorrah, we know how wicked and vile they were. They're going to do a lot better in the judgment than those people. Why? Because these people are rejecting a greater light. See, that's how powerful the message of the gospel is. As followers of Christ, we have been entrusted with that message. It's the most powerful message ever, the message of the gospel. It can give someone eternity in heaven or someone a greater judgment. Now, let me just say this. If you're here and you say, Marty, I've heard the gospel probably 100 times. I've never accepted Christ. You need to do that today. I do believe that every time you hear the gospel and you say no, you intensify the judgment that you will receive. So why is that? Because here's the deal. Somebody's going to pay for your sins. The gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The gospel message is that you've sinned, I've sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that somebody's going to pay for those sins. Somebody. But the good news is that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When Christ was on the cross, all of our sins were laid upon him. And Christ on the cross experienced separation from God the Father. The sins of the world were put upon Christ. The judgment of God came upon Christ on our cross. He died. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for our sins. That is payment for our sin. And what happens is when someone becomes a believer, accepts Christ, they're like, I know I've sinned, and somebody's got to pay for my sins, but I believe when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when he died, that payment that he made was for me. And I accept his payment on my behalf. Because somebody's going to pay for my sins. And I'd much rather Christ have done it on the cross 2,000 years ago than me to do it for all of eternity. Because this is as simple as that. Somebody pays for your sins. Either Christ, you accept what Christ did on the cross as payment for your sins, or you're willing to pay for your sins for all of eternity. Somebody's going to. It's like when you break something in the store and the store owner says, somebody's going to pay for that. It's like with our sins, somebody's going to pay for it. I'd much rather Christ pay for my sin on the cross than me for all of eternity. That's the gospel. That's good news. So when you hear that message, and you're like, you know, I don't want to admit that I've sinned. I don't want to ask for forgiveness. And you push back. And you resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You're resisting light. And the more light you resist, the greater judgment you will receive. It's just that simple. And so the message that these disciples, these apostles were being given as they were being sent out, Jesus is letting them know, man, this is a powerful message. People that don't receive this, it's only going to intensify the judgment that they will receive. They're being sent out. They're not prepared. You go as you are. You got to put into practice what you've learned. Whatever it is you've learned, you've got to put into practice right now. They had no idea when they woke up that morning. This was the day Jesus is sending us out. This is the day where we're going to have to put into practice what he's taught us, what he's shown us. But they had to. But wait, there's more. He's going to let them know, I'm sending you out, you can't take anything with you. And you know what? It's going to be really, really hard. It's going to be dangerous. Matter of fact, look what he tells them in verse 16. He says, behold. Now, anytime behold, that means, wait, you need to really hear this. Listen, this is very important. Behold, he says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Jesus says, don't go get anything. You're going out right now. Some will receive, some will reject, but it's an incredibly powerful message. And as I send you out, I want you to know this. Listen to me. You're going to be like sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, of course, you know, sheep, they have no natural defense mechanism. They don't bite, kick, claw, scratch. They don't play dead. I mean, they're sheep. They're totally vulnerable. He says, I'm sending you out. You're going to be like sheep in the midst of wolves. But here's how I need you to be. As you're sheep in the midst of wolves, I want you to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. What does that mean? Well, to be wise as a serpent means you're shrewd. You're able to apprise the situation that you're in. You're able to say and to do that which is most appropriate based upon the situation in which you find yourself. I mean, you're not a dupe. You're not Mr. Gullible. I mean, you understand the situation which you find yourself in, and you're able to say and do that which is most appropriate. To be harmless as a dove means that you're innocent and pure in your motives. You're not brash. You're not offensive. There's a purity in your heart and your purity in your motives. Oh, yeah, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. But yet you have this purity and innocence in your heart and amongst a bunch of wolves. Let me tell you a couple of ways that Jesus was shrewd. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was extremely shrewd. Extremely shrewd in the way he dealt with people. When they were trying to, what they would do is they try to set up these scenarios in which Jesus would entrap himself with his words. On one such occasion, they brought to him the question about, Jesus, should we pay taxes to the Romans or not? I mean, that's a loaded question. Now, here's how this thing would break one of either way. If he said, yes, we should pay taxes. Remember, Tyler talked about this a little bit last week. The Jewish people despised the Roman tax. It was abusive. It was oppressive. They despised the Roman tax. And if Jesus said, yeah, we should pay taxes to the Romans, the common people would have been in an uproar against Jesus. We don't want anything else to do with him. He's with the Romans. But if Jesus said, no, we should not pay taxes, they would have gone and told the Romans, this guy's telling people not to pay their taxes. Romans would have come and arrested him. So remember the shrewd move that Jesus made? He said, somebody bring me a coin. They brought him a coin. He looked at the coin. He said, whose inscription, whose image is on this coin? They said, Caesar's. He said, well, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. In other words, this coin, it bears Caesar's image. Give it back to him if he wants it. You, on the other hand, you bear the image of God. You're responsible to God. Boom. Shrewd move. What about when they brought him the woman caught in the very act of adultery? And they brought her and said, this woman's caught in the very act of adultery. What do you want us to do, Jesus? Now they knew if he said, okay, Jewish law says we're going to stone her. If he would have said that, people would have been like, man, that's kind of cruel. I can't believe he did that. But if he said, let her go, they would say, well, he's denying the Jewish law. We told you he just came to make trouble. So what does Jesus do? You remember? He just stoops down and he writes in the dirt. And he looks up and says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. The Bible says from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped the rocks and they left. Shrewd move. Knew what to say, what to do. You're going to be sheep in the midst of wolves. This world is full of wolves. We need to be shrewd. We need to be wise as a serpent, yet harmless as a dove, still maintaining that purity of heart, not being brash or abusive in our words or actions. Jesus said, I told his disciples, I'm sending you out, sheep and amongst wolves, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Let me tell you something, it's going to get you in legal trouble. Here, look what he says in verse 17. He says, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they'll scourge you in their synagogues. You will be before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. He says in verse 19, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you're going to speak. There will be times where you have to speak. You have to say something, boom, you're on trial. He said, the Holy Spirit will give you the words that you ought to speak. Don't you worry about that. Worst case scenarios happen. You just keep your heart right. You don't worry about it. The Spirit will give you the words to say. He says in verse 22, he says, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. They're going to hate you. Because I'm sending you out and you're following my mission and you're proclaiming my message, doing ministry, doing spiritual battle, they're going to hate you. They're going to be people, they're going to hate you because you're connected to me. Look in verse 25, he said, it's enough that a disciple, that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. He said, if they have called me the master of the house, Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of the household? They're going to slander me, called him the son of the devil. He said, if they're going to call me names, they're going to call you worse. But then he says, do not fear. Do not fear. Verse 28, he says, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 30 says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear. So he tells him, he said, look, I'm sending you out, sheep amongst wolves. There'll be some legal issues. You're going to be in some legal problems. People are going to slander you. They're going to hate you. Your life is going to be in jeopardy. But don't fear the one who can just kill your body. Fear the one who can cast both body and soul in hell. You fear God. He said, don't worry. Do not be afraid. Let me tell you something. You go forth and you get serious about your walk with Christ, you can't get your feelings hurt. You can't take it personal. If you're doing what's right in the name of Jesus, you do it because you fear God. Don't fear man. Proverbs says the fear of man brings a snare, brings a trap. You fear God. I think there's a lot of folks that have a certain limit to the extent to which they're going to follow God because they're afraid and they worry. Oh, if I really do what God wants me to do, I'm scared of the pushback. Oh, there's going to be pushback. That's just how it is. You're sheep in amongst wolves, but you need to be wise as a serpent. You need to be harmless as a dove. But it's going to be a dangerous environment in which you find yourself. Now, I wonder how many of us are really serious about being a follower of Christ, about really living it out and seeing it through. I mean, living it out and seeing it through. You got this message, the message of the gospel. The most powerful message ever is the message of the gospel. If it can give somebody eternal life and intensify the eternal judgment of others, that's an incredible message. That is powerful. That's what Paul says. He says in Romans chapter 1, 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. So I'm not ashamed of it. The power of the message of the gospel. Jesus sent them out. We're sent out with the same message. And there's the ministry to meet human need. You think about all that's been done in the name of Christ. You think about all the humanitarian stuff that's done in the name of Jesus. It's incredible, phenomenal. But there's a reason, the message of the gospel. And there's going to be spiritual battle. That's just part of the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's going to be spiritual battle. So you got to be prepared. And you got to be willing to be sent out at a moment's notice. Because, see, you never know when all of a sudden that day is like, okay, now is the day to put it into practice. Everything you're supposed to be learning, everything you're supposed to be observing, now's the day to do it. Now's the day. And then all of a sudden you're put in a situation where you have to trust. I feel like God wants me to do this, but I feel like I'm in such a position where I have to trust. If you're in a position in life where you have to trust God, that is not a bad place. If you're in a position in life where you have to walk by faith, is that really that bad? As the Bible says, we walk by faith, not by sight. If the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. So if I'm in a position of life that makes me more aware of my need for God, makes me more aware of my need to walk by faith, that's really not a bad position in life to be in. I mean, the Apostle Paul said, I have a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, but I've learned it in my weakness. God's strength is made perfect. He said, it's okay. I can live with it. Because there's a greater purpose. There's a greater reason for existence. So maybe all this time, maybe there's stuff that the Lord's been teaching you and wanting you to learn. And maybe there's a situation of dependency that's been created in your life. And sometimes we think, you know, if this situation of dependency was not in my life, I feel like I'd have a happier life. Situation of dependency makes you trust God more. He's sending out His disciples. He's like, don't take any money. Don't take gold. Don't take silver. Don't take an extra garment. The laborer is worthy for his food. You're going to have to trust as you go out. He was teaching them to minister in His name in faith. And He's also warning them, it's going to be dangerous. But don't you fear. Don't you be afraid. Don't you worry. Something bigger and greater going on than you can imagine. So sometimes we think, following Jesus is going to give me safety. No. No. Following Jesus make it where I don't have to be as dependent. No. Following Jesus means you walk by faith and you do what He says. That's what that means. You learn and you do. You learn and you do. It's like 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means learn it and live it. Learn it, live it. Learn it, live it. And as I learn it and I live it, then those opportunities are created. I'm really going to have to put it into practice. See, we have been commissioned. Jesus told His followers, Acts 1:8, that they're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit had come upon them. That having received the presence of the Holy Spirit, that they'd be witnesses unto Him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost ends of the earth. That's the power. He gave them the plan. He said, go make disciples, teaching them all things that I've commanded you. He said, baptizing them, bringing them into the church, teaching them, making more disciples, sending them out. So I think the main thing from all today comes back to this. How serious are we about putting into practice what we need to put into practice when it comes to following Christ? How serious are we about this message that we've been given? How serious are we? How serious are we to make a connection between, you know, there's this great dependency in my life. I wonder if God wants me to connect that with my desire to follow Him. I wonder if God wants to connect this great dependency in my life to my walk with Him. I would think so. I wonder if God wants me to connect this great dependency in my life to some type of ministry that He wants me to do. I would think so. I would think so. Well, I wonder why, if I'm following Christ and I have this dependency upon Him, I wonder why I'm encountering opposition. It comes with the territory. You're a sheep in amongst wolves. That's how He expects us to live. Sometimes we just need to make a decision that we're going to get out of our comfort zone, that we're going to get out of the mundane, that we're just going to quit taking this Jesus stuff as an add-on, as an addition, and that we're, as we've been saying, we're going to be all in. We're going to approach every day, I've got a desire to follow Christ. I know He wants me to make the connections between my dependency and faith and ministry and following Him. I believe that's what God's calling us to do today. And there's something maybe that you know about, maybe some connection that God's trying to connect some dots in your life with some stuff, and maybe he's done that today, or maybe you're more willing to open your eyes and see what God's doing. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you have called us to follow. And Lord, we've been given this message that's the most powerful message ever, the message of the gospel. And Lord, the ministry that the needs and the spiritual battle that comes with that, Lord, it's all part of it. And Lord, we see how you just sent your disciples out that day, just told them they're going to have to be dependent as they go out. And Lord, sometimes may we have fought against being dependent upon you. That may we try to structure our lives in such a way where we can be as independent as possible, as not dependent upon you as possible. And Lord, maybe you're calling some people to take a different step, to walk in a different way. Lord, in our dependency, we find your power. We find your strength. Maybe there's some here that need to realize that dependency that they have is not a bad thing. Whatever causes them to have to walk by faith more is not a bad thing. Lord, may we connect the dots with what you're doing in our life to the mission that you want us to be on. Lord, that as we do follow you on that mission, that Lord, we would be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, as we find ourselves in environments that may not be of our choosing, but it's of your calling. May our dependency be upon you. May we not shy away. May we not grow weary. May we not falter from fear or from worry. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.